Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains August 8th through the 14th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, you can't even make that stuff up. Zach, please, Zach, fractures his thumb, taking his shirt off. I mean, that's pretty aggressive. Derobing there, fella. Calm down. All right, it's Coast to Coast. I'm Pharrell. Hour two. We start with the fight game, obviously, with Mafia Brian Ciano. First of all, I want to say this. I know we're going to talk about 264. It's so stacked with Connor and Diamond, Burns, Thompson, O'Malley, and Smolka. That is phenomenal. It's so good that no one is talking about Adesanya Vettori and then the Nate Diaz-Edwards card, which is 263. They've, like, jumped that card. They're so excited about the 264, Moff.
Well, listen, always that July card gets so much attention, so much hype, it gets loaded. That's always, like we've, you know, talked about before, that's usually International Fight Week. That's when they have the, you know, the big convention for UFC fans that come into Vegas. I don't know if that's happening this year. We'll have to see. I mean, Vegas is wide open, so it wouldn't surprise me if they do that. But they usually stack that card in July, so it's not surprising it's so big. But it is surprising when you have, you know, an Adesanya fight that people are overlooking it. I mean, this guy is one of the most exciting fighters and champions in the UFC, one of the most exciting guys they've had in a long time. And he's definitely not getting enough respect. And, of course, you know, you get a Diaz back, usually people go crazy for it. But, you know, they're kind of overlooking it because of how stacked that July card is. But, come on, don't sleep on it. That's going to be an awesome fight.
So, you know, just so you know, like, Vegas is back and everybody's partying and everybody's going out and going to casinos, going to restaurants, everything else. But in reality, at T-Mobile last night, they had 12,000 fans there. And that place is about 20,000. Right. So they are not letting them in full yet. It'll be interesting to see if they're in full when it's Fury Wilder at Allegiant Stadium, because I'm hearing from my sources today that only 40,000 will be allowed in that fight right now.
That's crazy. I mean, the whole reason you put that there is to get the biggest crowd you can. That's why they're putting in these stadiums. That's why they've gone to places like Florida, where they went to Jacksonville, and they could pack it. They could pack it at Houston. I mean, I think when they were first reporting that 264 card in Vegas in July, they were saying that they're going to have a full house. I don't know. Maybe things have changed down there in Vegas and T-Mobile. But, you know, hopefully they get as many people as they can, because that's what boxing and MMA and these fight sports need. They need the fans. You're not making enough money off the pay-per-view. These guys need fans to be there for ticket sales to make that really big cash.
So Oliveira vows to make history against Connor or Poirier. A new era has begun, he says. I think, you know, I'm not as excited about that third fight as everybody else is. I think it'll be great. I thought the second one was unbelievable with Poirier. I'm just not that stoked like everybody else is, to be honest with you. Do you think Oliveira can beat either one of those guys?
Listen, I've been with you about that third fight. I said after the second fight, I don't want to see it again. But they're talking about rematch. I said, why? He kicked his ass. It wasn't a flash knockout. Right. It wasn't a close fight, all five rounds with a split decision. Kicked his ass. He didn't deserve a third fight. Poirier should have been fighting for the belt against Oliveira in the first place. It should have been Oliveira Chandler. It should have been Oliveira Poirier. And now hopefully we get to see that. I hope that this delay and this extra fight that we're doing in between doesn't screw that matchup up and Poirier goes down to McGregor for some reason. So I think, you know, Poirier should win that fight. He is the better fighter. And Oliveira against, you know, either of them, it all depends on who he gets, you know, because if he gets McGregor, what's he going to do? What everybody does, take McGregor down. That's all you have to do. You know, that's the big thing, is take him down. That's what Khabib did. That's what other guys have done. If he gets Poirier, that's a different fight, because Poirier is great on the ground. Even though we know him for the knockout at McGregor and his stand-up, he is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He is a guy who's well-versed in the ground. So we'll see how that matchup, you know, stylistically goes if it's those two. I think it's a much better fight if it's those two than if McGregor somehow wins and shoehorns his way into a title shot he doesn't deserve.
We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 204, our satellite partners, Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell, Coast to Coast. We're talking the Fight Game with Mafia. Who's next for Thug Rose? Don't give me Zhang again. Give me this chick that won this weekend.
Well, that's the thing. You know, Dana White says he isn't sure yet. I mean, before this weekend, this is the first time that the Cookie Monster, Carla Esparza, really impressed. She had four wins in a row before that, but they were all by decision. The last two were by split decision. It was all of, you know, kind of dragging you down and laying and praying. It wasn't anything where she took you down and beat you down. This weekend was the first time she did that. So by rankings and by, you know, the win streak that she has, it should be her. But for some reason, Dana's kind of dragging his feet, talking about maybe Zhang Malay. But she only had one title defense before she fought Thug Rose and got knocked out. Again, it wasn't a close fight. It wasn't a fight where, oh, we really need to see that again. We need to run it back right away. This wasn't a long-running champion who got upset. This is a woman who had the belt but had it very shortly and got knocked out. Move on, go to somebody else. So I guess next up then is Esparza.
So do you like Thiago Santos, Johnny Walker set up for September 25?
I do. I think that's going to be a violent fight. Johnny Walker's a very exciting striker. He was a guy who was getting a lot of hype in that division, working his way up. Then he lost two in a row. Now he's bounced back in his last fight against Spahn. Of course, Thiago, you know, is a guy who we know is a very big knockout power artist. You know, he was all the way running up to the top, had a title shot, then was fighting for another chance at the title and just got tossed around by Teixeira. So these are two guys who want to get that winning going, and they're going to throw down. This isn't going to be one where these guys grapple and clinch and, you know, bore you to death. These guys are going to try to take each other's heads off, and we're going to love it.
Are you buying this story about the interview Tyson did that Khabib was offered $100 million to fight Floyd Mayweather?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, all we, you know, keep hearing are these names thrown around about these mega fights between MMA and boxing. And Floyd obviously did it with Conor. And then Khabib was the even, you know, not the bigger name as far as draw, but he is the better fighter. So it wouldn't surprise me if they threw that, you know, I don't know if it was straight up $100 million. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if they threw that kind of fight around, because that's what Floyd's doing now. He's going to pick and fight his guys, as he always has, but he's going to pick and fight guys who aren't going to beat him. And Khabib's a great wrestler, but not a great boxer. So that would have been completely in Floyd's wheelhouse.
Real quick, Fabio Trash Sanchez, what did he say about him?
Basically called him a drug addict and an alcoholic and a bad father. It was just ridiculous. This guy went all out on him after he cut ties with him, man.
He's a junkie and a bad father. What a way to end the fight segment.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, here he is, straight from Harvard, our legal and sports business insider, Rick Haro, also tabbed an ingenious hot dog insider. The delicacies of the hot dog at stadiums and arenas around the world. No one knows more about the joyous pleasures of a hot dog with mustard and onions like Rick Haro. All right, Rick, we've talked about Phil Mickelson for 2 days, so let's get down to business on this. I want to know. It was very dangerous what happened on 18, although I thought it was the best thing I've ever seen for golf since Tiger, since Nicklaus, since Arnold Palmer. They've all had it happen to him. It was scary for Koepka, I'm sure, but if he was winning, I'm sure he probably wouldn't have said the same things. Here's the deal. I thought it was unsafe for Phil as well, very dangerous, but I thought it was great for golf. And what were the sponsors? They must have been drooling over Mickelson winning with as many people that he's in bed with financially.
Amgen, Callaway, Heineken, Workday, KPMG, Rolex, Mizzen and Main, and that's just for starters. You know, there was a rumor that Phil had had enough and he was turning 50 and he would play an occasional Champions Tour major, go to the booth at CBS and call it a day. That's not happening again, especially with the U.S. Open at Torrey and with all of his sponsors, as you said, salivating all over this and this thumbs up. I'm copywriting it, and he's going to be making a whole mint on that as well. As far as Koepka's comments, well, he did say to put him in a difficult position, and he did thank Phil for being competitive, and he wished he could have won. He just got the order of those a little bit mixed up. I'd have started with Phil, and then I would have gone to the other issue. But, hey, major knee surgery, and it felt like he was running through the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't know what you could do about it. Seth Waugh, the CEO of COO of the PGA of America, did issue a very heartfelt apology about crowd control. That wouldn't help if somebody re-injured their knee, but I think it's one and done and it's over. And as you said, it's great for golf. It was unbelievable for golf. I'm not sure we can debate this and nobody has the right answer, but it is it as big as Jack in 86? Is it as big as Tiger in 19? I think it may be bigger.
I agree. It was bigger. He's 50. He's not 46. And we've already seen Tiger win majors out the Ying. To see a guy do that at 50 on that brutal golf course, because I can golf, and I had a buck five out there, and I was in more trouble than a felon playing on that golf course. I mean, it ate me alive. So what he did on that course in those conditions, which brought the best players in the world to their knees, and he at 50 winning that was crazy. How about what he did for bettors? I mean, he loves betting himself.
You put a grand up, you make 300 grand. That's that's pretty good. And he does like betting himself. And all of the deals that the PGA Tour, PGA of America, the RNA, and others have done in golf. Let's remember that golf over in England, you bet on the event at the venue for the last 30 years. So this would have been nothing. But now with the proliferation of walking up and placing your bets and do it over mobile phones, Phil is a spokesman for taking a risk. And now he's made a whole lot of people a whole lot of money.
Carver High only had about 75 tickets per day on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. No wonder his wife doesn't talk to him anymore. The guy's got a massive gambling problem with golf. He used to bet on hockey like a man. Now he bets on golfers no one's ever heard of. He's got all kinds of issues. No wonder he's going to sleep in a rubber room tonight as well, like Tristan Jarry. By the way, this just in, I said earlier today on this show that Wayne Gretzky quit as vice chair of the Oilers because he's going to take a job with TNT. He took the job with TNT during this very show. He's going to be a hockey analyst on TNT.
Well, and by the way, TNT is now going to put a lot of promotion involved in hockey. And I guess he'll feel like he is the Charles Barkley of hockey. I'm not sure that's the right analogy. But TNT is sure throwing a lot of money at the streaming of it. They're sure throwing a lot of money at the promotion of it. It's the money that NBC did not care to spend at the time. And now the combination of TNT and Turner and ESPN are going to do it right. So right that Gretzky is going to try to figure out how to take advantage of it. And by the way, one quick thing for you. Yeah, one quick thing for Carver High. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you know, you're betting on your golf, but how about betting on the Sabres? That would be a instant trip into Looney Land, right?
That would be, or betting that the Browns would have the worst record in football this year. A guy bet all kinds of money on that. That's not going to cash either. I will say, I hope TNT does a better job than NBC with their studio hosts. It's like watching Ambien television. Get somebody with some personality in there that's entertaining. They had it in Jeremy Roenick, fired him. They've never been the same since. You got to have someone like Barkley in there and a Shaq like they do in basketball, because if they have the same boring-ass hockey announcers, people are going to fall asleep. NBA playoffs, what are the home court disparities in the NBA playoffs in terms of the attendance?
Two words for the former question, then I'll go to the next one. Don Cherry, how about that? The bottom line of the NBA playoffs is that it's all about the capacity restrictions. The Knicks, almost full. Look how motivated they were with the fans. How about the Nets? Best team money can buy. almost full. You go to LA, you still only have 6,000 people. It's becoming an issue. Last year, it's the bubble. Everybody is the same advantage or disadvantage. No home court. This year, hey, the bottom line is if you have a home court, you've had a better record, you played a better season, you deserve it, and you earn it. And the home court is a bigger advantage this year because some allow more in for COVID and some do not.
Tell me about the AT&T Discovery deal with Warner Media's entertainment, sports, and news assets, what that means.
Well, it means, like everything else now, we're streaming and we're streaming and more streaming. This is a giant media company. We now understand that there will be another mega merger coming down the pipe, too. We see Peacock and NBC. We see Paramount Plus and CBS. This one is a full content merger. And the prediction will be over the next 3 or 4 years that we're going back to basics. Remember, when we were just children, we had four networks and that was it. Then we go to 500 stations. Now, in some irony, because of streaming, we're all coming back to the mega companies snapping up all of the rights fees, and we may only have a few mega companies to choose from. We're in a lot more choices. We're going to have every game on every channel, but the bottom line is we may only have a few companies delivering it long term.
I'm going to read this from Mafia in the back, the producer right now. Should we show the clip of Rick making bombs during the war when he was a child? No, I don't think we should show that clip.
Yeah, I would respond right now, by the way, but I really can't because I value the long-term sports grid relationship. That's all I have.
Telemundo gets the Super Bowl rights. That's the first time that's happened for a Spanish television network.
Guess what? It's another way to generate more money for the NFL. NFL loses $4 billion last year. Fitch, the bond rating service of big businesses, an A+. Why? Because television, 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 the new $110 billion deal that's even before Telemundo piles on here. Labor peace with the NFL. I'm taking the global picture here. The NFL, you can't go wrong. And if you're going to sell a franchise today, talking about that with a few existing owners today for other reasons, you'd start at about $5 or $6 billion for any team in the NFL and see what you can get.
Respectfully, I have 45 seconds. How about the Amazon WNBA deal?
Hey, streaming again. The bottom line is you have more product to offer. Amazon becomes this major player in the space, just like Thursday night NFL football. This is another road into the NBA and certainly into basketball. And you're going to see more and more.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
...of Amazon wrapping this stuff up. It's the biggest deal Amazon's capitalizing structure today that Amazon bought, when Amazon bought Whole Foods, 10, 15 years ago, a little less than that. But this is another big deal. Hold on to your seats. We're all about streaming and vertical integration. That's the deal. And Mafia, I will see you a little later. Okay, you and I are going to have a heart to talk.
Next week, we'll show Rick walking to school with a horse and carriage. He was a child.
Where'd that come from? Yeah, that's not bad.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're all back on Coast to Coast. I wanted to give a shout out to Sarah, doing a great job today running the show, for Ty, who's drunk on his birthday, celebrating his 27th today, slammed on about 5 shots of tequila and 10 beers. He's a mess. He can't even get off the couch. He's falling on the floor. Thank God for Sarah. Also, Sarah doing a great job of muting me during breaks so as to not let everyone hear how foul-mouthed I am and a horrible person in general. Good job, Sarah. Love you. All right, here we go. Adam Kaplan's our NFL insider. He can verify my bad language at this very
moment. I actually wrote it down, and I actually translated it. So if we ever have to use it, I could translate it for the folks out there.
All right, let's start with the Bears. I'm always interested in a Fields update. I'm excited about him. I think he's going to be a stud in the NFL.
Yeah, so I alluded to this on our segment on Friday. Look, here's the deal with Justin Fields. You know, the Bears continue to say Andy Dalton's going to be the starter this season, and I get it. But as I think you and I could recall, when Russell Wilson, I know he was drafted in the third round in 2012, it was all about Matt Flynn. I know people forgot about Matt Flynn. The guy's supposed to be the starter for the Seahawks, and we know how that ended. Justin Fields has gotten off to a really good start. Again, only in the rookie minicamp, but here's what I'm told. He came in, great attitude, very coachable, very confident, has an edge. And here's the big thing. He wants to be great. Now, what does that mean? It means soaking everything in. The people who were there, practice observers who were there, could tell he just came in with an attitude that, hey, listen, I'm new to this. I'm new to this football team. I want to take it all in. I want to be coached hard, and I want to learn. And everything that I've heard from Bear sources has been terrific. I understand it's a rookie minicamp. He's really not competing for a starting job there. But the good thing is here, compared to Mitchell Trubisky in 2017 when he was taken way too high, where he was a little bit green, to say the least, Justin Fields looks like a guy who knows he's a first-round pick and is going to be the guy at some point this season. Don't know how early that's going to be, but the good thing is he came in with the right attitude, and that does count. There's no question about it.
So it was a strong rookie camp, and they get the vets in there starting next week. Is that about right?
Yes. Yeah, so this is yet another team, Scott. We talked about this last week, where we have an adjustment in the schedule. Presumably, Matt Nagy, the head coach, and their leadership council, the players, they came to an agreement because they were supposed to practice this week. Well, starting the OTA schedule, it is now starting next week, which tells you there's been some kind of revision with the schedule, which has been negotiated through the coaching staff and some of the players. So you've got that. And that's when the clock starts. So when Justin Fields with the veterans, whichever veterans are going to come in here, that is when the clock starts for him. I understand that they think he's going to be their third string quarterback, at least to start the season. But let's just be realistic here. They traded up with this quarterback. It's not a matter of if he's going to start. It's going to be a matter of when, whether it's week one, five, eight, whatever. Justin Fields is going to play this season and probably earlier than most people expect.
Adam, do you think that the track record of Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL has been dismal, to say the least? I mean, just horrific, let's be honest. Do you think he can crack that egg and go out and become something in the NFL and be a badass?
I do, because first of all, if you look at all the metrics for this player, right? Arm strength, smarts, athleticism, toughness. There's a lot to like. Now, there's some challenges there at Ohio State. It was what coaches would say is more of a one-and-a-half read quarterback based on the tape study. This stuff is very easily correctable because it's not his fault. This is what they gave him. He'll be coached up big time by Matt Nagy, who we mentioned. And what I like is Bill Lazor is a guy who's their offensive coordinator, who's worked with a lot of quarterbacks. John DeFilippo is the guy who managed Wentz for 2 years, and you saw what happened to Wentz after DeFilippo left. So you've got a great staff here to develop this quarterback. They've got really good pass targets there. I like this situation because compared to Haskins, who was drafted way too early, was not ready, this kid has got it all going on here. But they cannot rush it. But again, he's going to play this season. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when.
Do you believe that the Steelers can fix Haskins with their coaching staff?
Going to be hard because, again, now the good thing is he's with another staff that wants him, a front office that wanted him. There's no rush to do anything. Ben Roethlisberger's a starter here. But the Steelers do not know who the future is after Roethlisberger retires. And who's to say he won't come back for another season in 2022? But Haskins, whether he should have been a first round pick or not, was. This guy's got gifts. He has talent. But the maturity was the issue with Haskins. I think everybody knows that. And the fact that he's been released by a team, the team that drafted him, Washington, and he got humbled, this could be his last chance here in Pittsburgh.
So let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. I said on the show today, prior to you coming on, and I'll say it to you, It's simple to me. They have to get rid of Gutekunst if they want Aaron Rodgers back in Green Bay. It's obvious that's who he doesn't like. And I don't believe for 1 minute he's not, like, you know, insulted by the Love draft pick. I think from the jump that bothered him. But I think what really bothers him is Gutekunst. You talk about culture, building a team, building a franchise. That's all Gutekunst on his plate. That's who he's blaming for his problems. They need to get rid of that guy, or he needs to step down, one or the other.
Look, Gutekunst is there as a program builder. He's been with the franchise for well over a decade. They're not getting rid of him. But you are right. You are right. His venom is clearly to the general manager. I mean, everybody knows this. And it stems from the lack of communication with his draft pick of Jordan Love. And as Roger said on SportsCenter with Kenny Mayne on ESPN, he doesn't have an issue with Jordan Love, Rodgers. And I'll translate kind of that interview. It's what we've said now for about 5 weeks here. The lack of communication from the general manager to the quarterback. You know, it's one thing if he would have told him a day before the draft. Now, again, with the COVID issue, it's hard to do it in person. But he calls him and says, hey, listen, this is what we're looking to do here. If Jordan Love is there at our pick, we're probably going to take him. We want you to know that. Rodgers never found out about it until most people know this who cover the team, either right before or right after. That's not the way you treat your franchise quarterback. The communication here has been absolutely brutal. Gutekunst actually talked about that when he was asked about it, when the story broke about Rodgers not being happy and all that, in terms of not wanting to be there, not wanting to be a Packer anymore. He actually talked about it and said his communication could have been better. But we know, covering the National Football League, when you have a star quarterback, and when you're with them, like Gutekunst has been for well over a decade, you know this guy's a super type A personality. You have to manage him a certain way. To not communicate with this guy properly is pathetic. I mean, let's call it like it is. And this is why we're here right now. There's no question about it. And I give Rodgers credit. I know he's tight with Kenny Mayne. That was very clear in the interview. But how funny is it and ironic that in 2005, when the Packers drafted Rodgers, remember, there was no inkling they were going to do this because the Packers the plan was never to draft Rodgers. They actually tried to trade out of 24. They couldn't find a trade partner, so they went with the best player on the board, and Favre was blindsided, just like Aaron Rodgers was 16 years later.
Well, listen, I have to tell you, I know you certainly know more than me inside NFL circles about the shenanigans that go on with the power structure of these franchises. Fair enough. But I got to tell you, I don't believe for 1 minute that Gutekunst is safe in Green Bay. I do not believe anyone is not expendable in any job, anywhere, any day, any time. He is the brunt of this problem. He knows it now. He's been aware that he's been the brunt of it. I believe they have to get rid of him or he has to step down. Like I said, I don't care if he's been there 10, 20 years. He's the reason Aaron Rodgers is miserable. And if you want Aaron Rodgers to play for the Packers moving into the future, that guy has to go. It's that simple.
Come August, my friend, if Rodgers is not reporting to camp, they're going to have to make a decision. That's what it's going to come down to, whether they trade him or not. If Rodgers holds fast, and by the way, this guy holds grudges. I mean, you talk to anyone who knows him. Any of the reporters that I know have covered him for 16 years. Right. When he has an issue with someone, he doesn't usually forgive them. So this situation bears watching over the series of weeks and months towards training camp.
Listen, how in God's name are you going to live with yourself if that guy, not you, but Packers, the franchise, the fans, they are going to blame that guy forever. If that guy does not play for the Packers this year, Gutekunst's career in Green Bay is over already. It's over. He will be dead man walking in that job as sure as I'm sitting here. Now let's talk about Drew Lock. I think Drew's imagining things. First of all, he says all those quarterbacks they mentioned replacing him, it didn't bother him. He's lying about that. Second of all, he's not better than any of them. Third of all, Teddy Bridgewater's better than him. This kid needs to reshuffle the deck, Adam.
Well, the bottom line is, and you and I actually talked about this a couple months ago, and now we can revisit it. He was told very clearly that there would be competition. Now, remember now, they decided not to take a quarterback, Justin Fields, at number 9. They passed on that and they took a cornerback, Patrick Surtain II, who's a very good football player. cornerback was not a current need. It's more of a future need for them, which opens up the Aaron Rodgers discussion. But the bottom line is, when you look at the situation, Teddy Bridgewater to me is the favorite, not Drew Lock. Why? Remember, the general manager was with him. George Payton was with him in Minnesota when he was drafted in 2014. He knows him very, very well. Drew Lock is on borrowed time here. I mean, the bottom line is Teddy Bridgewater is an experienced starter. But the reason why Carolina didn't want him, checks down to the ball too much, was not good enough last season.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The starting quarterback of the future, we're talking past the season, is probably not on the team.
I still think they want Aaron Rodgers and will do a deal in a heartbeat if they can get their hands on him. I don't think they actually, in all likelihood, believe in either one of them, Bridgewater or Locke. They'd rather have Rodgers. I'll tell you what, great stuff today, Adam, per usual. We'll see you again on Friday.
You got it. Thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver High, it's simple. If they choose Brian Gutekunst over Aaron Rodgers, what's that saying? Well, I'll tell you what it's saying. It's saying that they don't believe that Aaron Rodgers can play for more than 2 or 3 more years and that time will eventually catch up with him, like they've been saying about Tom Brady for the last 10 years. They don't believe that he can keep playing at this level and that Love will be the quarterback. I do not believe, I cannot accept that Brian Gutekunst will be chosen over Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I stand by what I said. He's got to go. He's got to leave, step down, or be fired, one of the above. And that's how you get Aaron Rodgers back to work.
If they fired Gutekunst, Rodgers would leave that Hawaiian vacation that he's on right now. He would come home, go to OTAs for 2 days, and then fly back to Hawaii and finish the vacation. That's how badly he would want Gutekunst gone, as far as I'm concerned. Baseball time for you now, Scotty. We have a lot of games tonight, full slate, etc. Let's start with last night. White Sox beat the Cardinals 5-1. Our favorite leadoff hitter on coast to coast, the Hall of Famer, Tony La Russa, pleased with the win last night. Here's Tony.
Good ball game because, you know, Kim was pitching very well. But Lance was a stallion. I mean, he went out there and had a couple of chances against him. Great pitches. Got through 7 innings. You know, it was outstanding. And the guys, you know, everybody kept battling their at-bats. Andrew, again, has come up huge. I mean, he's really finding his way, and it's exciting to watch. You got to give Yermy a lot of credit. I mean, he started a couple of rallies with base hits. Then he had the run. So, overall, you know, he played good defense. But everybody took good at-bats. And then Michael, I mean, it's fun to watch him.
I wanted to go to lunch or dinner with Tony and just watch him talk for like an hour and a half. I really do. Don't we have Lance Lynn talking about his psyche? This is great.
We do have Lance Lynn because Lance Lynn got his first win over his old team, the St. Louis Cardinals. He was very pumped up about the win. He even wanted to tell you that he's always been, well, a little bit of a, let's just say, a jerk, Scotty, to be nice. Here's Lance Lynn.
Has that body language thing always been there, that aggressiveness? Has it been refined?
I've always been an asshole.
I've always been an asshat. That is fantastic footage right there.
The Marlins win their third in a row, 9-6 over the Phillies. More bad injury news, though, for Philadelphia. Bryce Harper now goes on the IL. He's been hurt for days. They haven't put him on the IL. They finally decided it was time. So Bryce goes on. The Rockies beat the Mets 3-2. The immortal Austin Gomber, 2 hits, in 8 innings for the Rockies. The Mets are going to be without Michael Conforto and Jeff McNeil till late June. They're losing players by the hour, by the inning. Luis Rojas, the Met manager, on just the awful state of affairs with their injuries. Here's Luis.
I got to use the word challenging. Yes, it's challenging, man. These things keep happening. And it's happened a lot because I think the way we play, right? The guys play hard. They play it up to one speed. But I think the group understands after it happens. So even though we react in the moment saying like, oh, you know, not again, I think we just get back into it. I mean, you guys saw the way we ended up playing. They're just pushing it again. It's tough. It's challenging. Yes. Losing another guy in the middle of the game there and having some moving parts, and you know, we ran out of players there.
Listen, I do not understand for the life of me, to be honest with you, how these guys in baseball get injured so much. It is so unbelievable to me. Like, do your buddies play like beer league softball like every 3-4 nights a week, and they're drunks, they smoke dope, they fat, and they never get injured? They just keep playing. The guy's hauling ass, diving into second head first, never gets injured. The guy's got cuts and bruises all over him, never misses a game. I play with broken feet, play basketball with broken feet. Every injury in the world, I play. Hockey players get shot with 100 miles an hour in their knees, shins, ankles, hands, face, teeth, and they never miss games. Baseball players fart, and they're out 2 weeks. Guy passes a fart, and he's out for 2 weeks. I mean, baseball players have to be the softest candy-ass athletes in the entire world. It is unbelievable to me how Stanton and Judge get injured, and these guys get injured. It's left and right. The entire Mets team is injured. For what reason? Is it all the winning? Does winning cause injuries? I don't understand. You stand in the outfield scratching your onion, spitting dip and bubble gum, and you pull every muscle in your body swinging a baseball bat. It makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I have to ask Dr. Chow about it. Why do baseball players get so effing injured all the time? It's unbelievable to me. You can't even explain it to me.
There you go. So you have your lead with Dr. Chow on Friday. Why do the baseball players get hurt all the time?
You know,
I saw
right.
A dude earlier. You are right. In fact, I saw a guy the Mets pregame. I guess it was Vargas who got hurt yesterday. I mean, he's sitting there with a sling on in the interview today, and they're not putting him on the IL yet. Like, he's like, they're still waiting on an MRI. The guy's sitting there in a sling. I think he's hurt.
How about the guy that broke his thumb taking his shirt off? Please, Zach.
Oh, it's too much. It really is. It's amazing. Also with the Mets, we're not done. Pitcher Jordan Yamamoto slammed the Met fans on Twitter for harassing his wife. Honestly, Scotty, awful job by the fans. Yamamoto got lit up by the Marlins on Sunday, so all the fans went on social media and decided to annoy the wife. Always the way to respond to a bad performance by their favorite team's pitcher. Real cool.
Listen. I'm a lot different than the fans. I just want to say, I think you're smoking hot. Screw those fans. Stay hot. I like your look. Let's get together.
The Brewers snapped the Padres' 9-game winning streak, a 5-3 win at home last night. Blake Snell, not good again for the San Diego Padres. Here he is, Scotty, saying he's got to figure things out.
This is a lot different than what I've ever been through. So, I can be frustrated and get mad, but what's that going to do? I don't know if that'd be, you know, beneficial.
It's Aaron Rodgers in Hawaii.
I like how the ball's coming out of my hands. I like how I feel. I'm healthy. I feel strong. I feel like, the ball's coming out. The best it's really ever came out in a long time. So I'm not going to get mad at myself. I mean, now it's little things, better sequencing, knowing the hitters, knowing why I'm throwing pitches in certain situations, knowing that the hitters are cheating the fastballs up. I can see it with how they're swinging. Knowing that if you throw off speed to a guy and just strike it, he ain't gonna do nothing with it because he's cheating fastball. Like, common sense stuff that I should be doing.
I think that was a great explanation of what his struggles are like. Look, this guy's a great pitcher, but you wonder if Tampa knew something when they got rid of him and let him go for a bag of peanuts to the Padres. I don't believe for a minute that that guy's done being a great pitcher. His stuff is filthy. I mean, he throws nasty as Garrett Cole. So I don't want to hear it. But he did look like Aaron Rodgers in Hawaii with that shirt.
He did. That is an outstanding shirt that your boy Blake Snell was wearing last night after the game. The Indians beat the Tigers 6-5. Twins over the Orioles 8-3. Mariners beat the A's 4-2.
Kikuchi.
Speaking of the A's, Kikuchi was on the hill for the Mariners last night. Speaking of the A's, of course, they are visiting cities. They want to get out of Oakland because they are not getting a new stadium. Well, the next stop on their list, Portland. One of the potential cities. They are going to go tour Portland. Vegas or Portland? Vegas or Portland? I think I know what you would choose, Scotty.
I mean, honest to God, you got to be kidding me. Like, I've been to Portland. I love it. It's just a fantastic place. Great people. I've done live shows there. It's awesome. But it can't hold a candle to Las Vegas. I mean, are you kidding me? This decision is so easy. Vegas is the answer for the A's, just like the Raiders going to Vegas. Do they look unhappy? Do the Vegas Golden Knights look happy? Is there a player in the league that doesn't want to play for the Vegas Golden Knights? Is there a player in the NFL that isn't willing to go play for the Raiders, even though they suck?
No.
Vegas is what's up. Portland is meaningless. I love you, Portland, but you're meaningless. You are meaningless. Stick to your basketball team. If the baseball team goes there, I will literally fall off a cliff. I mean, if you choose it's Portland over city. Vegas, you got to be on acid.
It's a great city, though, Portland. It really is. It's a great town. It's just not Vegas. That's just the bottom line. All right, we have a full
beer.
Slate tonight. They have great beer in Portland, and that always works very well for me. Full slate tonight. We have 15 games in Major League Baseball and some really good pitching matchups tonight as well, Scotty. Let's start with the Cubbies in Pittsburgh at PNC against the Pirates, Arrieta and Ponce. We've got the Cubbies minus 144 right now on FanDuel. The Phillies are down in Miami against the Marlins, Velasquez and Alcantara, Marlins minus 134. The Reds are in D.C. to take on Max Scherzer, the heavy lumber, now up to minus 220 on FanDuel for them. That's Corey Kluber off of his no-hitter last week. The Yankees come home against the Blue Jays. They have Steven Matz, Yankees minus 178, and the Braves into Fenway to take on the Red Sox, Charlie Morton and Garrett Richards, minus 108 each way at FanDuel right now.
I'm dangerous on Boston in that game against Charlie Morton. I'm going to take the Red Sox at Fenway merely because they're there. Garrett Richards has been decent. I think Charlie Morton's going to give him problems tonight. I'm on the Yankees and Kluber based on not the no-hitter, but based on his ERA. He's given up around 2.7 runs, right? And, you know, he's taking on a guy that is giving up 4.5 runs. I'm going to go Scherzer. And then on that Phillies-Marlins game, I'm on the Phillies in Miami to end their three-game winning streak. And who's pitching for the Pirates? Ponce de Leon? I mean, honestly, I'm all over Arrieta and the Cubs tonight against the Bucks.
I will give you some Yankee notes that I just saw from the pregame. No DJ LeMahieu tonight. His wife is giving birth, so he is not in the Yankee lineup. He will not be there. And Giancarlo Stanton, who was eligible to come off the IL today, not quite ready yet, Scotty. He needs a little bit more time. So no Stanton. Maybe a couple more days and we can get him back in the mix.
I mean, honestly, can they get the chick to hold off until like 11 or 12 tonight to have the baby? Can we just get the game in?
And I saw that. It's not just him.
I'm just
kidding. Luke Voit's wife is expecting later in the week, so he's going to be out of the lineup later on. So no DJ tonight.
Oh, well,
no Luke Voit.
Hey, now listen. Amy, you know, maybe, you know, Voit, when she has the baby, maybe that'll finally get him to have his first hit of his career since he's come back from injury. He can finally have a hit because he's been worthless since he's come back.
He's absolutely due. All right, Cleveland is in Detroit tonight. You've got Savali on the hill, minus 142 at FanDuel. The Rockies, once again against the Mets at Citi Field. Jacob DeGrom back on the hill, and you're going to pay for it, minus 250 at FanDuel. The Royals are in Tampa against the Rays, who have won 11 in a row. The Rays have Hill going, minus 210 now at FanDuel. The Orioles are in Minnesota with Jose Berrios on the mound, and the Padres in Milwaukee again. Musgrove against Corbin Burns tonight, Brewers minus 124.
You know, I don't think Musgrove's been great since his no-hitter. I'm going to go Burns and the Brewers. Twins and Berrios, Rays, Mets, Indians. Indians are number one play tonight, Scherzer.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Number two.
And when we come back, Kershaw and Greinke, the Dodgers and the Astros, Scotty. Tonight, they face off in Houston.
Listen, I'm taking the Astros because I think they hate each other's guts, and I think Greinke in H-Town can beat Kershaw.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, on the last four games I'm going to give you, I'm going to take the Cardinals over the White Sox on the south side of Chicago. I like the way Texas is playing right now. I'm going to take them over the Angels in Anaheim and the A's at home over the Mariners, and give me the Giants on the streets in Zona. All right, we break it down here. Diana Taurasi going to miss 4 weeks, a month with a fractured sternum. Ouch. Christian Pulisic, among names on the Team USA roster for the CONCACAF Nations League, whatever the hell that is. Iowa guard Jordan Bohannon recovering after suffering serious head injury and an assault. Sounds like somebody beat his ass somewhere. Can't have it. Kenny Mayne's final SportsCenter run last night was hilarious with Aaron Rodgers. I still can't believe they got rid of that guy. Whoever made that decision should be fired. A-Rod cozies up to a young blonde on Instagram and writes, quote, "New energy is emerging," end quote. He should have wrote, quote, "New energy is rising," end quote. Adal. Woman accused, she's 78, of embezzling millions from a North Carolina church. Hey, what's Granny doing in that new Cadillac? I love it. All right, at least 5 dead after an Italian cable car plummets from a peak. I mean, did you see the ski chairlift snap and they fell down like 50 feet and everybody died? That's brutal. First of all, why are they skiing in northern Italy? What is it, winter there? And then here you go. Larry Flint's Hustler Club in Vegas holding a pop-up vaccine clinic. You see the people standing in line going into the place, and there's just nothing but nude chicks on the wall. I mean, it is just fantastic. What a place to get your shot. Amazingly real Scottish sex robot introduces herself in an uncanny lifelike footage. Did you see the sex doll talking to you? I need one of those in my house. And Dan Dockage is now doing DoorDash deliveries in Indianapolis after losing tons of money betting on the NCAA tournament, and his family turned on him, his wife and kids. So he went out to learn the value of a dollar, and he's now a food delivery guy. I have seen it all. Good luck with that. GTD is next. I'll see you tonight on the bench. Enjoy the hockey game. Screw Kristen Jari.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.